You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Sound the alarms. Emergency edition of the Coast to Coast podcast coming at you right now. All right, we're brought to you by Johnny T-Shirt. I'm Joey Powell. He's Sherelle McMillan. He's Sean Moran. If we're here on an emergency basis, you know it's a big deal, and absolutely one of the biggest deals that at least has happened since I've been doing this. North Carolina has secured a commitment from Ian Jackson, the number two overall player in the 2024 class, a 6'4", 170-pound wing. He attends Cardinal Hayes in the Bronx, New York. Just visited recently. I think his visit was on the 6th of January as we're recording this. I will say, at least from my non-sourced up perspective on Inside Carolina, that I didn't see this one coming. Sherelle McMillan, how did we get here?
Yeah, nobody did. I'm going to start with a question. And if you read this, it's in the story too, but who do you think was the leading scorer on the team, the UNC team that had the biggest comeback in school history? This is a softball.
The comeback was against what, Florida State in 93?
No, but don't overthink it. Who do you think has had the most points in the biggest comeback? Okay, this is bad radio. It's Hubert Davis.
Oh, wow.
Hubert
okay.
Davis. He had 30 points in a comeback in 1992 against Wake Forest. And that's kind of what this is. 31 years ago, he did it, and he did it again with an recruitment, because there's no one outside of the Smith Center who thought that North Carolina was a serious viable option for Jackson as recent as 3 weeks ago.
You said it on this show.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I think we've said that.
Yeah, and this isn't a situation where, you know, we read the tea leaves wrong or we were getting bad information. The information was consistent from everyone that this kid was going to Kentucky. And I think some of the things that have happened with Kentucky over the last couple of weeks, coupled with an absolutely what he described as an amazing visit, what sources described as an amazing visit to UNC, kind of helped push him over the top. I don't think you can take Elliott Cadeau's commitment for granted in this as well. It just showed that, you know, it was a top 10 kid taking a chance on UNC. And now, you know, you're starting to see, I think, the run last year reflected. We said it wouldn't show up in 2023, but it would show up in 2024 and 2025. What Caleb Love did, what RJ Davis was able to do, people see that. They take note of it. And that's what happened with Jackson. So, I mean, you cannot ever, ever overstate how much of an amazing recruiting win this is for Hubert Davis. Because now, in the last 3 weeks, think about this. There's four blue bloods in college basketball, we all agree. Mm-hmm. And to be frank, UNC hasn't fared well head-to-head against them in recruiting. But in the last 3 weeks, Elliott Cadeau, who UNC has a commitment from, Kansas was on his list, his final list. James Brown, who UNC has a commitment from, Duke was on his final list. And today, Ian Jackson, who UNC has a commitment from, Kentucky was on his final list. North Carolina has never, ever beaten Kentucky in this modern era, you know, dating back 15 years, mm-hmm. for a top five kid whose aspirations are one and done. So we talked about Elliott Cadeau being a kind of a new era, and I think this is a continuation of that.
Well, I don't want to gas you up too much, man, but I will say your line has always been, if North Carolina can get them on campus, we'll see what happens. And I want to back that with a tweet from UNC's current leading scorer and candidate for player of the year, Armando Bacot, who says, if you're on a visit and you don't want to come to UNC, don't visit because you end up coming here, or something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing, but he tweeted that recently. Sean, I want to ask you, you've done a pretty good write-up on the dossier about Captain Jack's game. What kind of player is he?
Well, it might have been a few podcasts ago, we were talking about what does UNC need? And no matter what recruiting class it is, it was a true score that we were talking about. And Ian Jackson is that true score. I think nowadays any two guard is going to be able to handle the ball really well and be able to, you know, play that combo guard. But it, you know, when he's on the court, he's putting the ball in the basket, whether that's high school, AAU, USA basketball, that's what he excels at. And sure, he's a versatile player, but in terms of being a wired scorer, that's who he is. And I think that's what we're going to see in Chapel Hill. You know, he can score from a variety of ways, very athletic player, good with the ball in his hand, so he can create one-on-one. He can catch and shoot. I think that's probably, as he continues over this season, still probably the main improvement point is just continuing to increase that three-point percentage. But we did already get to see a significant increase from the summer after his freshman year to the summer after his sophomore year this past summer, just in terms of what he was able to do. But you know, he's a true scorer, and probably not since Kobe White has UNC had somebody coming in that can score to that ability.
I appreciate you making that comp. You know, I love a good player comparison. Sean, what holes in his game does he have besides, you know, the ones you listed about the perimeter percentage? I mean, when I saw him on TV against Imhotep, he was pretty quick in getting his shot off. You've obviously got a better eye than I do. What are some things that he can work on to improve his game in the next, you know, 16 months?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, shooting wise, efficiency will probably be the number one thing. Right now, I have recorded around 150 threes, and he's at 33%, which is still pretty good given a large sample that is from his freshman year, sophomore year. So still pretty young, definitely doesn't track everything. So there's a lot of high school stuff that's not accounted for. But also in terms of, you know, probably a little prone to turnovers, not that he's careless with the ball, but just that he can sometimes try to do a little too much. So I think that's going to be really the main thing is how do you fit a scorer like this, that can handle the ball like he can, in a team setting. But I think we got glimpses of that in both, he played for both the FIBA U16 team, as well as the FIBA U17 gold medal team this past summer. And obviously when you're playing with talent like that, you have to fit in. Kind of another comparison, which is going to be rare since you're getting two players, when I'm rarely give out any, but another guy is Malik Newman, who comes to mind, not in terms of exactly how they play. I think he's probably a little better with the ball in his hands, but just in terms of these kind of 6'3" scoring guards that can light it up from wherever. And I've seen his height range from anywhere from 6'3" to 6'7" on the USA basketball site. But having interviewed him in the last live period, I would put it at 6'3", 6'4" max. But those are two of the things. And then defensively, I think he's a guy that can guard probably one through three. I don't think you're going to put him and say, hey, lock the top offensive player down. But I think he should be a guy that is a strong defender and given his size and strength can guard and switch on a few different positions.
Joey, let me jump in too.
Sure, man.
I would say that's one of the things that USA, he was on the 17 and under team this past year. And at the tryout and at the mini camps, that's something that everyone came back to, was that his defense was really coming around. And that's what stood out most initially. And that from there, you started to see some of the other things that he does well. So definitely a shout out to his defense, because I think, as Sean said, in college, he'll be able to guard, you know, I would say 1 through 3. And, you know, he's got a penchant for steals, you know, probably guesses sometimes a little too much or takes a leap, but he shouldn't, trying to get a steal. I've seen that in a few of the games I've watched of his, but generally a pretty solid defender. And really, to be honest, you know, a ton of what you learn defensively it doesn't happen until college. So we can talk about defense, but you don't really know outside of a few rare examples like Seth Trimble, who's going to be a great defender in college when they're in high school.
Well, and that's some pretty good comparisons you guys have given out too about, you know, who are the guys that, that can be that defender and how Jackson has gotten to be more improved on his defensive game. Trill, highest ranking commit for UNC since who?
Harrison Barnes. He's the highest, I would rather say like the internet era, which is roughly 2003, because there were so many different sites and evaluation people, you know, doing rankings in 2000, 2001. Raymond Felton, by some people's accounts, was ranked number two in this class. But those are the three top two recruits for UNC dating back, you know, 23 years to 2000. Raymond Felton was number two by some. Harrison Barnes was number one. And then Ian Jackson now is number two. There were a couple others. Cole Anthony was number three in his class. I think Nasir Little was number four. So a rare type of commit for UNC. Again, can't overstate it. Just how big and surprising this is. It's as much the how as the what. I know that's obviously what I usually say. But just the fact that if this was, you know, again, if this was a basketball game, Carolina was down big with not much time left in the game and came back and got the win. So it is a new day. It really is with how North Carolina is recruited. I mean, no one else in college basketball, I think, has more than one commitment in the junior class. And now UNC has four, including two in the top 10, three in the top 30, and four in the top 55, I think it is. So, you know, they're kind of not quite done, but close to being done in that class, depending upon what Jackson and Cadeau, who both have options to reclass, do. They're ahead of the game.
What does this say for, you know, for Hubert Davis and the staff that they've got this much kind of in the boat, pardon the pun? We know IC subscribers love a good fishing reference. He's got this kind of class already in the boat this far ahead of time. Does this give them potential windows into other recruits that may not have answered the phone before?
I think so. I think you'll start to see it with the 2025 class as well. Like I said, I think the run was too late to affect 2023. Those guys had kind of pretty much made their decisions and were moving forward. But I think what happened from February last year through April, I think that's definitely impacting 2024 and already is impacting 2025. I think it's going to impact when they go to the transfer portal. They can say, look, here's a documented history of guys we brought in from the portal. They typically start or they typically play a good amount of minutes. Now, there are a couple of examples where it didn't quite work out, but it at least happened. So they have that. And then, like I said, in 2025, that it catches your eye when you see one school doing so well so early with guys that you play with at USA, on EYBL, on 3SSB, on Under Armour Circuit. So it's huge. Again, you cannot overstate it. Yeah, but I'm at a loss for words. It's a big deal. Let's put it that way, because this just was not expected. And I think Hubert Davis is now checking off boxes. He's checked off the, can he get a team to buy in and play like he wants? You know, check. Can he get a team to buy in like he wants that wasn't primarily players that he recruited? Check. You know, can he recruit a solid foundational class? Check. Can he recruit now a high level top end class that features some of the best players in the country? Check. So he's showing that he can do all the things necessary to be not just a really good head coach, but potentially a great head coach. And now the winning just has to follow up.
Yeah, it's definitely great for optimism, if nothing else. And hopefully the fan base will find something to rejoice at in seeing this kind of coup with Ian Jackson. Sean, we've talked about this on every emergency podcast we've done, and the answer has been very consistent from you. I'm going to ask you again, what's left missing from UNC's recruiting board right now? We put 23 to bed a long time ago. Now we're looking at 24, and that one's almost done. What's left to add to this class?
I mean, I guess there's still questions on where do some of those players go. We've talked about Cadeau. You know, I think he'll stay in the 24 class, but when you look at his age, being close to 20, if it is 2024 when he does step on. And then Jackson was something that we brought up when we interviewed him back in July, and it wasn't the age, it was more he's dominated the U17 AAU level and he's played on the U17 USA level. So what was really left for him next summer? So it'll be interesting just to monitor those those situations. But I still think Jaren Stevenson is really the main question mark, because he does bring that, say stretch four ability, which could complement James Brown and Drake Powell and the other guys. And it was Hebert's very first scholarship offer in that class. So last time we set a true score as well as potential Jaren Stevenson, and now we're still at that Jaren Stevenson, or maybe somebody that can fit into that role. And once again, it's a long spring and summer, and other players can come out of nowhere or develop that aren't on the radar, and who knows where the roster's looking. So I think there could always be one to two different additions, but I'll go with the stretch four. And once again, the true score is you can never have enough of those.
Sherelle, does this class filling up kind of an accelerated timeline, does that change anything with Jaren Stevenson?
I don't think so. I think maybe it potentially emboldens them to stay the course, because now they, UNC's cards are kind of on the deck, so to speak. They know what UNC has, they know what UNC doesn't have, and they can proceed, how they wish. He's been pretty consistent. His family's been pretty consistent that they're going to wait until after this AAU season ends to potentially make a decision. I do think you'll see an official visit set up with him for UNC sometime during basketball season. That was their goal for the family, was to wait until basketball season. So I think you'll see that. And, again, it's the common refrain now, if UNC can get you on campus, who knows, what might happen. Mm-hmm. And I think also the class is going to be impacted because, as we said, when guys say they're not going to reclass early, I always take that with a grain of salt, just because things can change. G.G. Jackson at this point last year said that he wasn't going to reclass. And mm-hmm. We know that he ended up doing that. So things can change quickly. And, there's a chance you could see Jackson in 2023 or Cadeau in 2023. Who knows? But I think that's the flexibility UNC kind of has, that either of these guys can be in either class. And one thing that Hubert Davis has talked to Ian Jackson about is kind of filling that Caleb Love role is just like a pure scorer in the lineup. And depending on what Caleb does, that role could be open, beginning in 2023. So those are just things to think about. Don't know what those decisions will be, but I do know they're in play. So again, not to go back to everything we've said, but a really highly rated recruit, unexpected, and UNC beating Kentucky for a top five one and done. It's just something that doesn't happen. So I think we all have to kind of reset how we think about things and how they recruit. I'll be honest, when they started recruiting, it was kind of like, why? Because he's the type of player who typically just does not sniff UNC. But I think we're still looking at things maybe through a Roy Williams lens, and we have to stop doing that. The other thing was that, the New York area continues to be fertile ground for UNC.
Shut it down.
I think we put in the story that between Danny Green and Cole Anthony, the only two players from that region were Desmond Hubert and Dexter Strickland. And now, since Cole Anthony, they've had RJ Davis. They signed Wilcher. They've got a commitment from Cadeau, and now they have a commitment from Jackson. And so you have to expect they'll continue to mine that area for talent.
Yeah, I made the joke a couple of weeks ago about Hubert Davis just kind of getting an apartment right down next to the Rucker and hanging out just to make sure he's picking up anybody that's dribbling a basketball in that area. We're not too far off now, because it's starting to get a little ridiculous with what the staff is pulling off. And it's a heck of a position for this group to be in, knowing, like you said earlier, Sherelle, that this far ahead, and to your point, Sean, that the class is really well-rounded from a skill perspective and what these guys bring to the table. All right, before we get out of here, anything else you guys want to add? I mean, by the way, I would be remiss if I didn't say something about the fact that clearly it's Johnny T-Shirt that is winning these guys over when they're taking these visits. So shout out to Johnny T-Shirt for being a sponsor of the show. Boys, anything else y'all want to add before we get out of here?
I'll just add that this is easily the most shocked I've been with the recruitment in terms of where it started and how it ended, which just goes everything Sherelle was saying. And in terms of, only got to interview him once in person after the Adidas event in California, but you forget how young the players are. But he was didn't have the rote answers that a lot of the top players do and being interviewed. And, despite being very flashy on the court, you could see his charisma in the interview, but still, kind of a quiet, nice kid. So I feel like UNC is getting a good player on and off the court with this one.
Can never have too many of those in your locker room at any point in time. Sheryl, anything you want to add before we close up?
Yeah, two pennies. People aren't going to like it, but I think it's an important point to make. Carolina and Duke both went through coaching changes, going to assistant coaches who had never been head coaches. And while I would say Hubert Davis has proven some and Shire's in his first year, the recruiting at those two schools just isn't going to stop. UNC hasn't recruited as well as Duke lately, but they weren't, to your point, on the coast to coast, sisters of the poor, technical tech or anything like that when it comes to recruiting. But now you have Duke with a couple of number one, number two classes. Now you're going to have Carolina with either the number one or two class more than likely in 2024, and that's just going to build. So I think it says a lot about those programs that, at least on the recruiting front, they're able to withstand the retirement of absolute legends and still kind of persevere and continue being, those blue blood schools. So that's one. And then two, Jackson brings a lot of energy. And I think at times that's something that UNC, the players, the coaches have talked about, like they lacked energy today. They don't know why. They can't find the answer. I think with all of the players that Hubert Davis has recruited thus far, I don't know if that will be an issue moving forward. Talking to Jackson, he said he loves when the crowd roars. He loves when people scream at him and yell at him and that kind of thing. So he has some showman to him, but he also loves basketball. And again, very energetic, very just on the court, just loves to play basketball. So I think that's something that should be noted as well.
Absolutely. Well, guys, quite the surprise that we're even doing this show today, but it's definitely a monumentous and excitable one for Carolina fans, Inside Carolina subscribers, as Captain Jack Ian Jackson, 6'4 wing guard out of New York, has committed to Hubert Davis and the Tar Heels. Number two in the overall class. I mean, it's pretty freaking impressive, as you guys have laid out. Thank y'all for making time for this. Shout out to Johnny T-Shirt for sponsoring the show. We appreciate you guys listening. If you haven't subscribed, shows like today are why you need to be subscribers. This stuff will land in your inbox immediately. You don't even have to go seek it out. It'll be right there for you. So hit that subscribe button. Give us a rating review if you feel like it. Shout out to John Siegley for producing. Guys, I appreciate it. Until next time, this has been an emergency edition of the Coast to Coast podcast on InsideCarolina.com. I'm Joey Powell, but Sean Moran and Sheryl McMillan, we are out. Late.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.